Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Accomplish Radio. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the CEO and founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference, taking place on September 10th through 12th in Dallas, Texas. If you're new to our show, we're excited to have you join us for this episode where we get up close and personal with people from all over the world that have accomplished great things. Today's guest is Anne Evanston. Anne believes in strategy. Strategy that can be replicated for success. For 2 years, she quietly tested her strategy, and it has achieved great results. See, as a small business owner, being online is about creating visibility, recommendations and referrals, stronger organic search engine presence, an opportunity to establish yourself as the true expert you are, increased interviews, blog posts, and publicity that comes to you, and getting raving fans, not just Facebook fans on your page, but real fans and customers. What are the results? Anne Evanston, MA, is a social psychologist who has taken her networking strategies and tactics and applied them in person and online with great success. Over the last year and a half, she has received a book series deal, first released in April of 2009, has had 14 speaking engagements, and over 50,000 in closed business through social networking. She's actually ranked number 2 on top influencers in the San Francisco Bay Area on Twitter and has over 1 million Googleable hits. That's kind of tough to say. In addition, she has been interviewed for the American Management Association's podcast on using Twitter and countless other radio shows and teleseminars, all due to social media. Her success comes from understanding the social psychology of networking online, a point many people miss. Well, welcome to our show today, Anne.
Thank you so much, Darlene. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, this is wonderful. I'm so excited to be able to talk with you today. We're going to have a conversation and really just about your accomplishments and to learn a little bit more about you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So you and I have been friends actually for many years, and we had done some adventures together in the past, and you know, we've had some wonderful opportunities to get to know each other on a personal level, but I'd like to be able to share with our audience, you know, some of the accomplishments that you've had have just been phenomenal, and I just wonder, is there one that you could share with our audience that stands out the most for you?
You know, this is going to sound like a silly thing, but and it's probably not the answer you're looking for, but honestly, my greatest accomplishment was getting into the college that I got into. I was a street kid. I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I got kicked out of my house. I had a lot of abuse going on, and I actually had a teacher in junior high school tell me that my grades would not be good enough when I transferred out. To ever get into college if I went to this other high school. And so when I actually decided to early bird apply to the college that I wanted to go to, and I remember when the acceptance letter came in the mail and the fact that, I mean, I was completely home alone. Nobody was there. I grew up as a latchkey kid, you know, and it was this complete happy dance moment of joy to realize that I could get into one of the top private universities on the West Coast and actually do that with everything I had been told growing up.
Wow. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times most of us, we allow other people to make those decisions for us, and it sounds like you decided it doesn't matter what someone says, that you're able to turn that around and, you know, regardless of your situation, you're able to handle a lot of phenomenal things. So I'd like to ask you, because you have had some just incredible achievements and things that you've done, and you know, I know you've been in you know, some books and some great places, and you know, I kind of wonder if there's something that Well, let's talk about things that you're working on currently. What are you working on right now?
Well, it's interesting because my business evolves over the years, and I think that's an important part of being successful as a small business owner is being willing to be flexible and change. And what's happened with the economy in the last 2 years has really meant that people have had to rethink what they do and how they do it and how they reach people. And people that are resisting that are hurting worse, right? So that ability to really be adaptive in my business, I think, has been key. And I made a huge shift with the tank in the economy, and part of it was strategy and planning, without a doubt. I had an advisor who said to me, you realize with the economy taking, your corporate clients won't be there anymore, which is really true. I mean, when the economy takes, corporate clients don't pay for coaches, trainers, and consultants. They just don't. It's the first thing in the budget to go, right? So really redefining my market, what could be a new passion for me in terms of what I've taught for years at the core and how I redefine that. And I've built my business marketing strategy to be able to use it online and social media, which I think is something that's been so fascinating. In 2008, early in 2008, I actually started my own social network site that is now a paid site, lifetime membership kind of a thing, where you can get all my strategies and get coached by me online. And that has now been built into a product that's licensed. So I have many companies now that license that and have their employees and their contractors go through that training as well. So that's probably the biggest project that I'm working on at this point.
Wow. It's a very big project. And congratulations. It sounds like you've progressed in so many different ways. And, you know, to have this this membership-based site, you want to share that with us so that our audience can find out where that's at?
Absolutely. It's the Social Networking Coaching Club, and it's actually www. Believe it or not, it's been up that long that's still on there. I know I should make a priority to change it, but it's still part of the actual URL. You will need it. SocialNetworkingCoachingClub.com. It takes all my strategies, and the beautiful thing about it is I stay very cutting edge. Clients are always amazed at updating video, updating strategy as I've proven new things. I'm testing a new social media strategy right now, that kind of thing. So, and then we're moving into phase two, which is where I'm excited, because what I realized several years ago as a coach is that one-to-one is not a good ROI. You either have to raise your rates to a level where it is a good ROI, but if you're a coach that's still only charging, you know, $50, $75, $150 an hour, it takes a lot of hours to make a decent revenue. And I don't think any entrepreneur, any small business owner should be ashamed of wanting to make decent money and not have to worry about that. Call me crazy.
Absolutely. No. You know, and women tend to find ourselves, we actually undervalue most of the things that we do. And in fact, when I do any coaching with any of the people I work with, the first thing I always tell them is to double their rates. Right off the bat, because they're always under what the going rate should be, and they're you know, concerned, or should they raise the rate? Will they lose their customers? And it's just they don't value themselves and their knowledge they share as much as they should. So it's usually the first thing I tell them is to double their rates. Go ahead, you were talking.
Oh, and so, I mean, the big thing I want to do with coaches and speakers and consultants is help them to see how they can take their intellectual property like me. Because at first I thought, you can't do that as a coach. You so need to talk to the client and be in touch with the client. And I have clients on this site that I've never met in person and I've never spoken to on the phone. And my intellectual property is on there and the coaching is on there, and I'm a one-to-many now. I can get on in an hour and coach many, many people through a process. And I really am excited to start teaching other coaches and speakers and consultants how to do that, because I think it's the wave of the future.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, what was it that inspired you to really create that?
The site?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Well, I think really it comes from this whole story that I started to tell. I mean, I was in 2006 and 2007, I was slated to be a million-dollar business. I was doing corporate training, consulting, and coaching. My clients were people like Cisco and Maersk, and sometimes people go, oh, I'm not familiar with that one. Well, if you've ever been out and seen a truck with the blue back and the star on it, or the boat with the blue and the star on it, they're the largest shipping company in the world. And doing what I do, teaching communication, marketing, teaching the social psychology of human behavior and how to get people to willingly do what needs to be done, which is so much what we have to do as small business owners, is get people on board without twisting their arm and forcing them. And I had a consultant, an advisor, that said to me, because of where the economy's at, you really need to think about what you're going to do differently. And that's a shocker. I mean, when you're in the comfort zone, it's easy for comfort zone to turn to, and I hate to say this, but turn to just mediocre, whether it's at $50,000 a year or $550,000 a year. It's easy to just settle in to that zone and keep doing your routine and not really think about what needs to be done differently. And at that point, everything I did was face-to-face or on the phone. And all my content was on paper. There was none of it online. And I had one of my final coaching sessions at Cisco with Senior VP team. And one of the gentlemen walked up to me at the end and he said to me, he said, you know, do you teach any of this stuff to small business owners? And it was like one of those V8 moments, right, where I hit myself up the head and thought, duh, I'm one. I never really thought of that, right? And I said, well, why do you say that? And he goes, because what you teach is so valuable and they need to know it too. And my wife's a small business owner and she'll be the first one to sign up if you do it. And that moment was one of those places where, you know, they always talk about opportunities and doors open, and it's really easy to say, no, I'm comfortable in corporate America, I know what I do, right, that kind of thing. But how do you look at that opportunity and where you're at and say, okay, how can I redefine a market that would be valuable for me based on my knowledge and expertise? And that's when I started to make that transition to looking at, okay, how do I reach our entrepreneurs? And at first I did it face-to-face, right? I was showing up. I was doing it the way I knew most comfortably how to do it, right?
In-person still. Networking.
Yeah. And then I had actually started a little online. As you know, I'm a big fan of Ning, N-I-N-G. And I started a little site on there for women in business. And I was already trying to test using LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. Believe it or not, I was an early adopter of Twitter back in 2008 when everybody thought that was the craziest thing on the earth. And I was already testing, how do I reach these women entrepreneurs, who is my primary target market, how do I reach them to get them to my face-to-face event, right? And it was working. I wasn't going to other face-to-face events to drag people to my face-to-face event. I was getting online and getting them invited and filling the rooms. And I thought, this is working. And if I can sit here and do this, what else can I do right here at my computer that will work as well? So I started to, within that Ning site, I built a private group that people could join for $5.95 a month, where I started to talk about how I was using social media to attract clients, right, with these women. I had 157 women on that site join for $5.95 a month.
Wow.
Right? Okay. You know, so then I was asked to speak at BizTech Day, which is going nationwide, I believe, in the next year. BizTech Day happens here in San Francisco in October every year. And the woman who runs it had found out that I had this, you know, Ning site that was making me money. And she said, you need to come speak on that. And on that day, I actually created a mock Ning site called socialnetworkers.ning.com. To show these people what I was doing, which at that point wasn't where people are. I think now people are ready to build their own membership sites, but 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, they weren't. But they, that moment I walked out of there and I'm like, wait a minute, I need to put all the stuff that I did to drive these women to get onto that site, to pay $5.95 a month. I need to build this site to be that, and that's what turned into the Social Networking Coaching Club.
Wow. Wow. Let me ask you, were there some issues that came up along the way that you had to deal with? And I mean, if so, I mean, because anybody who leads the way like that, because I see you as a trailblazer. You start something that nobody else has done. You're ahead of the game. You're, you know, a visionary. You usually kind of lead the pack. Were there things that were, you know, in the way or issues or obstacles or any kind of challenges that you may have faced along the way? And if so, how'd you handle that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think there are several things. Number one, knowing the value of the site. And you mentioned that earlier. You know, initially I was charging people nothing to get all of my intellectual property. I mean, all of it's on there. All of it's on there. Podcasts, handouts, videos, right? And me. You get access to me. You can answer a question or ask a question, and I come back and answer it for you, right? I help coach you through what I'm teaching specifically for your business.
You were doing charity work, basically.
It was. I was giving it all away for free, and I believe in giving. I believe that the more you give, the more that comes back to you and that. But I had to really evaluate that and add the value to it. Then, though, I honestly had to figure out how to sell it. Because in your mind, you know what it is, and this is something that I think that's true for all small business owners. You know what you do, and it makes so sense to you, and you get caught up in your head of how it makes such perfect sense, but that doesn't mean it makes sense to other people.
Great point.
Yeah, and that's a big roadblock that I was running into. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have this coaching site. It will teach you. And all these people are like, oh, I'm scared to death of social media. They didn't understand that I'm there holding their hand the whole way anyway. I'm there helping them as they watch these videos and go through the training and help make it specific to them. So really helping them understand that it wasn't just one of these forums that you would log in and get the stuff and hopefully somebody would give you an answer if you had a question, but it was never the leader, the coach, was a big thing in changing the language without a doubt.
Wow. You know, I've seen you progress, you know, for so long, and I look at what you're doing and going, how does she keep up with all of that? You know, because you just really are the superstar in my mind because you've achieved so much. You really have taken yourself from where you were and, you know, what we were doing and really progressed forward and moved at a rapid pace. And perhaps I didn't see all the behind-the-scenes things and the day-to-day, you know, movement because, you know, social networking on the internet takes time, takes dedication, takes, you know, I mean, nobody just gets, you know, 8,000 followers on Twitter like someone I know, you know, I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight where all those people say, I want to follow Ann Evanston. And, you know, so it's important that people understand that you have to progress every single day, add a little bit of attention to it, and see what happens. Let me ask you, was there a motivating factor? I mean, what was it that kept you motivated, you know, through all the development and everything that you were creating?
Well, and there's two things that I want to say that I think are important points, too, that what your voice in your head is telling you, I don't have enough time to get on and market my business. Whoa, wait a minute, rewind. Did you hear what you just said? You don't have enough time to market your business. What? Why are you telling yourself that? Your business deserves 30 minutes a couple times a day to build it, to make it viral online, to make it attractive so people know it. It becomes word of mouth marketing, right? Mm-hmm. It's shifting that mental mindset, and that's a big deal. A lot of people have that stuff that holds them back. Second thing, and I say this in speaking engagements all the time. I say, Field of Dreams ruined how people think about social media. And the famous saying of Field of Dreams is?
Build it and they will come.
Right? If you build it, they will come. And that's not true on social media. You can't just go build a Twitter page and think that people are going to suddenly start buying your products or services. You can't just go build a Facebook page and never engage people on it and think that it's somehow you're going to get business from it, right? So those two things are so important in terms of that for me. To your question about working all of this stuff at a pace, boy, isn't that the truth. And I am, and you know this, you've known me for a long time, I'm definitely an extrovert. I love being around people. I love interacting with people. And I think what's helped me in this is that I've shifted my mindset about places like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube, and I don't see them as one-dimensional anymore. I see them as three-dimensional. And I actually make a concerned effort to take people that I initially meet online and talk to them on the phone and get to know them. I've actually met people when I've traveled that I've met on Twitter and on Facebook and on LinkedIn. I've actually, believe it or not, have some of them now who I think are better friends than anybody I ever knew, right, in person first, that have stayed at my house and eaten in my dining room and had a bottle of wine with me. And so shifting to getting that three-dimensional and making that emotional connection with people, I think really kept me going initially. And then, of course, having my clients come back and go, oh, my God, Ann, I just got my first referral off of Facebook. Oh, my God, Ann, I just got my first client, $3,000 a month worth of coaching, right? When I have clients who say that to me, oh, my God, it works, you know. Oh, now I understand. I understand why what I was doing wasn't working. That keeps me going to keep the content up and keep working with people.
That's fabulous. You know, this is something that you can relate to, and it's similar and yet off topic in some ways, because you and I used to host, you know, in-person networking events. And I still do. I'm sure you still do. And recently, I went and attended a networking event that I used to go to religiously, all the time. Every single month, I would always be there. And there's something really special about still being in person and still doing a lot of networking. But I ended up really evaluating it this time. And, you know, by the time I paid for my registration and, you know, the extra little goodies, I spent $45 to attend a lunch. And when I did, I sat there and I was able to meet, I came home with 23 business cards. Now, there were three of those business cards were all the same person that were promoting three different businesses. So take those out. And more than half of them were people I already had an established relationship with, already knew them, already connected, already knew their business, already had their information, you know, already working together, already had that great relationship created. So then I had about 10 business cards, and when I figured out the ones that could possibly be a client, it was about 3 to 4 people. Now, that entire networking event that I attended that cost me about $45 to attend, I was there for over 3 hours. Do you know how many people I could meet in a three-hour time span on the Internet?
Mm-hmm.
It was like this big aha moment. I went, oh, my God. And the Internet, obviously, there's not a cost except for your monthly service, right, or unless you're in a paid, you know, social networking arena, but I'm meeting thousands and thousands of people on the Internet that are learning more about who I am, and I have so much more access and information to who they are to make that logical decision. Is this someone that I want to do business with, and vice versa? Do they want to do business with me?
Right.
And that was huge. That was just really a big thing for me. And I'm not saying to get away from doing in-person networking. I still believe it's a good, viable concept.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, you know, I mean, look at the results.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure you probably analyzed that already before and went, wow, do I want to continue to do in-person? And it's good to do a mix.
Yeah, and I still do network in-person because part of what I've realized, and my executive assistant and I talk about this a lot, is that a lot of my clients are clients who are very afraid of all of that. They have fears related to privacy. They have fears of the limiting beliefs again, right? I'll lose my privacy. I don't have anything interesting to say, right? I don't know my voice. It takes too much time, all of these things. So because of that, they're often not online that much to find me. So I have to go out and start to meet some of them initially. Now, I get a greater ROI from speaking than I do in-person networking, without a doubt, and that's true based on marketing standards, that to go speak, I get a greater ROI than to network. But I don't disagree with you at all in terms of that. I even talk with my clients about, you know, this whole time thing. You said 3 hours. If that's one monthly event and you take that 3 hours and, you know, divide it up, and I don't know if your 3 hours is even counting your get up, do your hair, put your makeup on, drive there.
Oh,
drive
no, it's
back.
Not. You're probably not talking that, at least right? 4 or 5 hours now.
Grab you on the way out the door to the parking lot, right? All of that. It really ends up being a full day for me, right? 8 hours, yeah. For what you just said. But I also find that, and I forgot where I was going to go with that. Oh, that email. There's a new survey that came out with email that said that the average small business owner is spending 13 hours a week on email.
Wow.
13 hours, which if you're only online Monday through Friday, that's over 2 hours a day. That's over two hours a day. If you're on 7 days a week and you check your email, that's an hour and a half a day. And when I ask all my clients, I'm like, how much money are you making checking an hour and a half worth of email every day?
Mm,
and they look
wow.
at me like, none, very little to none, right? I say, well, so give me an hour of that. Take your email down to a half an hour. Build some good filters, right, so you can prioritize the right stuff, or get an assistant like me who puts the hot stuff into a folder that you need to look at and weeds out all the other crap, and spend that hour instead doing the social media and engaging people on social media and building relationships on social media and finding those referral sources on social media. You will get a greater ROI faster than you ever will checking your email for an hour and a half every day.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And actually, I went ahead and I disabled my, you know, my little notice feature on my Outlook, you know, my email.
Yeah.
So I don't know when it comes in. And I honestly only check it twice a day now. It was a huge shift for me to do that, but it helped increase my productivity because I wasn't getting distracted every few seconds with, you know, another notice coming in saying, oh, you received another email. So now I literally go in and manually, you know, hit the send and receive button when I'm ready to actually get those messages. And I've been doing that for quite a while.
Yeah, and I love that as a strategy, and I used to do that strategy too, and now I've taken it even a step further. I close my email. Because I can still be somebody, because I have what I call SOS, shiny object syndrome, where I can very quickly go, oh, wonder what's happening in my inbox. Oh, wonder what's happening over there, right? I can very quickly jump from where my focus is and what I need to be working on. And if I just close Outlook, if I just close my Gmail account, I have to take the work to open it to look at it so I'm not as tempted. And then if it's scheduled to go look at it twice a day, then I go do it first thing in the morning, later in the afternoon, that kind of thing. But it's amazing how, if it's open, how many times I'll even go over and I'm tempted to look at it.
That's great. I think I'm going to try that. And let me ask you, if there was someone, you know, if someone was going to try and build a following or start their whole social media, social networking campaign, or, you know, their online presence, what advice would you give someone to get started?
Be who you are, not what you do. It is social networking. It is social media marketing. It is social capital that you want to build. And the key word is social there. So that means being a human being. And all the research shows that this is true. A colleague of mine is the president of Technorati, and him and I have spoken on stages together. And he gets paid big bucks to go into big companies to teach them how to be more human on social media sites. Right? Because big companies are so disconnected from their customers and from who they are as people that they forget that that's why people are attracted, and that's what keeps customers loyal. You know, you'll hear customers say, you know, I've got this guy that I've known forever at blah, 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 and that's why I keep using that company, right? I have this salesperson that sold me my first car, and 20 years later, he's still there. I'll still buy my car from him, right? That loyalty to a person is what creates it. And too often, what entrepreneurs do immediately is they disconnect who they are from what they do, and they're just pushing what they do, what they do, what they do, and that doesn't create an emotional connection. That doesn't create the relationship that makes people want to buy. You just become one big billboard of advertising.
Yeah, and nobody wants that. I mean, that's just, you know, that's almost like spamming people, you know, whenever you're out. And there's some times that you just, you know, I want to elaborate on something here, because you're talking about being social, and I know that there are some people that actually push the envelope a little too far with sharing too much information about themselves. And because at the same token, you're establishing a relationship, you're sharing more about your personal life, things that you're interested in. And, you know, sometimes I wonder about that, because on Facebook, for example, I have all my friends, family, and clients, and, you know, future, you know, people that I plan on doing some other, you know, fun things with, and I network with everybody all around the same place. So it's like, you know, my family probably wants to hear more personal things about what's going on at home, and, you know, friends want to catch up and say, hey, are you going to the reunion? And then you've got clients that do want to hear what's going on in your business. So, you know, and again, I know that you're, I love watching what you actually post out there and you put on your Facebook wall and how personal that you seem to get, but is there like a rule of thumb with any of that that you would suggest?
Well, I definitely have some rules about this, and it's a big part of what I teach with my clients. Funny what you just said, too, because I actually posted on my Facebook profile, my wall, on Thursday that I teach social media marketing, not spam media marketing. And it got, you know, 6 or 7 like this and 11 comments, so it made the top news, you know, for the day. And I really do believe in this social aspect. And what I teach my clients about what you just said is that there's, you know, this the what's the word of 2010? Transparency, right? Be transparent. And it's interesting, not really sure what that means. But here's for me what I think is important about this. Being who you are and being authentic to you, who you are, first means several things. You have to decide what your boundaries are before you ever get online. You know, when I meet a client that doesn't understand this stuff, they want to know how to lock everything down. And the more you lock it down, the more you show customers that you're not an open person. I think that's the wrong approach, right? The more you lock it down, the less visibility you get in search engines, because you cut search engines off from pulling the data that you post, right? So before you ever get on, you have to make some decisions about what's appropriate and inappropriate for you to share online, right? So if you're a mother of small children, are you going to post pictures of your babies online where pedophiles might see them? You have to make that decision and decide if that's okay for you. Or are you just going to talk about your kids and adventures with your children, because you know that 60% of people on Facebook are moms and 80% of purchasers are women, right? So how are you going to make that decision? You know, I share a great story, and there's a video of it on my channel if you want to go see it. But I share the story of when I started my business 12 years ago. I'm 13 years in a relationship now, and I've been with Earl, and he's this tall, you know, good-looking, dimple in his eyes, all my girlfriends sigh when Earl walks into the room kind of a thing. And, you know, he walked in, and after I started working with these clients, and he said, babe, I understand if you don't want to tell your clients that you're with me. Okay, that's kind of a weird thing for a guy to say. Usually a guy's saying, okay, put on the ring, wear it prominently, people need to know you're taken, right? So we had this conversation. Well, Earl's African-American, and I'm not, for those of you who don't know. and the conversation was about that, because 12 years ago, multiracial relationships weren't as common. Seeing them open in the workplace wasn't as common. It wasn't something there. And my losing work because I dated a black man, right? We had this conversation. And back then, 12 years ago, we actually made the decision to, for me to act as if I didn't have a relationship, to keep it private, if you will, right? It was nobody's business. Then I got a client. I got a great paying client. And several weeks into it, he started to use the N-word. And then he would make jokes about getting those people out of his neighborhood. And it devastated my spirit. It devastated my spirit. And now, honestly, on my wall, I have an album called Great Love. There are pictures of people that I love dearly on there, and I have my arms wrapped around my big old 6'4", 250-pound African-American man. And if somebody is thinking about hiring me, Darlene, and looks at that picture and says, oh, no, I don't want to deal with somebody who, you know, is dating a black person, good. Move on.
You don't want that client.
Not
anymore.
A right fit, right? And so when you think about these things and boundaries, that's what you have to think about. You know, one thing that I choose to stay out of is politics and religion. I just
yep,
stay out of them.
It's just basically the same thing that you would do in person, right? You avoid those controversial topics. Yeah.
I stay out of them online, right? My sense of humor is something that my family appreciates and my clients appreciate. So does my sense of humor come up? Absolutely. Does my feistiness come up about things? Absolutely. Do I tend to relate those to my business so both people feel like they're connecting with me? Yes. And my family, personally, I think loves hearing my little updates about my business. Now, again, if you watch my wall on Facebook, I very rarely advertise. I tend to more educate than advertise. But I think that they appreciate getting to know a little bit about what Ann's doing, because how else would they know what Ann's doing? Number one, being an entrepreneur is kind of an odd beast for people still. But number two, you know, how often do you call, when you call your mom, do you say, or your sister, you say, oh, yeah, well, today I worked on XYZ. No, you don't really say that. You know, you talk about the kids. You talk about your garden. You talk about, you know, books you're reading. You talk about those kind of things with your family. What's going on with grandma, right? So I think the wall adds that opportunity as well.
That's great. So we're almost at the end of our show, but I wanted to find out, and this has been wonderful. I'm just thrilled that we were able to spend some time together today. But could you tell us more about how our audience can connect with you again? What's the best way to link up with you, Ann?
Well, it's interesting you brought up those in-person networking meetings, and I've stopped carrying business cards. Number one, because I find that most people that take them spam me. They just load me into their autoresponder, and I start getting their newsletter in my inbox, right? So I now carry bubbles to networking events that actually say, find me on Google, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, search for Ann Evanston, because I'm very findable. So if you go anywhere online, you can type in my name, Annevanston, and that's Ann with no E and Evanston with the E. Some people confuse that sometimes and think it's Ann Vanston. So if you type that in, you'll find me without a doubt. My website, though, and my brand for my business is Warriorpreneur. I combine concepts and techniques and strategies of great warriors with entrepreneurships, and that's warrior-preneur.com, and it's just the end of entrepreneur, P-R-E-N-E-U-R.com, and there you can find my newsletter where you, if you sign up Longevity with the newsletter, you get my ebooks for free, you can find out about the Social Networking Club, you can read my blog, all of those kind of things too.
That's wonderful. So is there anything else that you'd like to share before we end our show today?
I think that if I'm going to share any last thing, I just want people to realize that accomplishment and achieving the success that you want in your life, and I don't care if that's being a million-dollar business or not, What matters to me is that you have what I consider a million-dollar mindset, which means you're a go-getter, which means you're a risk-taker, which means you're not afraid of change, which means you strategize and evaluate, which means you stay cutting edge. And that, to me, if you can embrace that kind of concept, I think you'll be excited about where you'll see your business go, whether you want it to just bring in enough money to pay the bills, or whether you want it to bring enough money so you can travel the world, or whether you want a team of 100 people or more. You'll find that that will be true.
That's fantastic. Thank you again so much for being our guest today on Accomplish Radio. We appreciate your time and your words of wisdom, Anne. And if you're listening to our show, make sure you mark our show as your favorite and get reminders for future shows. Our next guest is Pauline Victoria from Hawaii, who is an absolute inspiration. You'll need to listen to the show to find out why. And, you know, I also want to encourage you to get your free subscription to Accomplish Magazine, which Anne is actually one of our contributing authors, so we're really grateful to have her input into the magazine. Make sure you get that at AccomplishMagazine.com. And then if you're interested in learning more about the U.S. Small Business Conference happening September 10th through the 12th in Dallas, Texas, visit USSmallBusinessConference.com. Again, thanks so much for being with us today, Anne.
Thank you, Darlene.
You're welcome. So I'm Darlene Willman, your host of today's show, and I'm wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments. Thanks for joining us today.